We will not be shaken. I love those words. I love that phrase. I love what it teaches us and what it says to us. As we move to God's word here, we have been singing God's word already, and as we move to opening God's word together, I want to invite you to pray with me and ask God to move in power. Would you pray with me? Father, I believe the words we just lifted in praise. We trust in our God that you have unfailing love for us. That our God is greater. That we can do all things, not for our glory, but for yours. All things that align with your will. Father, I trust that you have a word for us today as we open the scripture. Lord, my prayer is as we read together that you will use today's scripture passage to speak to hearts. Father, my prayer is that we would leave here as we have continued week after week talking about bridging the gap, that we'll leave here today determined to bridge the gap in our community between those who know you and those who don't. God, please speak through us in power today. I pray that you would lead this time. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, I'll ask you to turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Over the past 2 Sundays, we have focused on bridging the Great Commission gap. There's a gap that exists between those who have heard the gospel and those who have not. And there are billions of people we discussed who live in the 1040 window, longitude and latitude-wise, who do not have any access or regular access to the gospel. And last week, our faith family was challenged to get one of our families that we're supporting to the field. They're trying to get there. And so as the Vipins have been working towards their support, we knew what they were short. We asked you to step up and to help. And friends, you did. And so we're so thankful for your gifts to make a way and the commitments and those we know that will come in to get them there. So all of the monthly needs were handled. And now all that's left is some of the one-time needs for airfare and apartment set up and all there in Central Asia. But you answered the call. It's important that we know that there are people who are willing to go and share the gospel in different parts of the world, parts that are not easily accessible for you and for me. So if we're going to bridge that gap, we have to continue to use our resources to go where we cannot go, our prayers to go where we cannot go, and our give and our and sometimes our going as well when it is allowed and won't hurt the cause of what is happening. So thank you for your strong yes in responding to that. And then 2 Sundays ago, we talked about the gap that exists between believers who are engaged in local churches and those who claim to know Christ but have walked away from the church. And we basically left with the idea that this, that we need to be believers who make Jesus believable. That there are people in this world who simply don't find Jesus believable because they know too many believers. They've been watching how believers live their lives. So we live our lives in a way that we show the kindness of the Lord, that we walk in grace and truth, and we help others to see him. But today we want to focus. Last week was so much about the world around us. Today we want to focus on our local community. Friends, there is a gap that exists between the people inside the walls of our church and the other churches in our city. And those outside who are not part of a church, who've never been connected, and who just simply don't know Jesus. And over the last 2,000 years, the method of the church has slowly drifted away from go and make disciples to instead, here in the Bible Belt, a lot of times we've made the new method, y'all come, we'll be right here waiting on you. That's not what the scripture tells us. This is not what the Bible teaches. Let me read to you from Matthew 28. If you'll stay in Psalms, but let me read to you from Matthew 28, the passage you will know. It's the Great Commission. He says, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the ends of the earth. Now, two things about this passage. Two things you may already know, but it's worth revisiting together. First of all, the phrase "go and make disciples" can be accurately translated from the Greek to us today to "go and make disciples," but it can be translated "as you are going." It's the idea that we're already going in life and we need to make disciples. It implies that we're all to go and that everywhere you go counts. Everywhere you're going to go this week counts for this passage. Everywhere you're going to go next week counts for this passage. It does not say stay and make disciples. It does not say as you sit in church, make disciples. It says as you go, make disciples. And then it says this, of all nations. You've heard this preached before from right here on this platform, that all nations, the words are panta ta ethne. That's the original language. And that means of all peoples, of all people groups. So this is more than just go to all nations, to all countries. Listen, countries have changed a lot since this was originally worded by Jesus 2,000 years ago. It's not just about the countries. It's about all people groups. It surely includes all of the world, but it most definitely includes all the people groups right here in Marshall County. And do you realize there's all kinds of people groups in Marshall County? You say, what do you mean? Do a little experiment today. You want to see how many different types of people there are. Get you out a little notepad and a piece of paper. And everywhere you go the rest of the day, just observe people. And we'll define people groups by how they collect together, the commonalities that they have together, different aspects of culture and things like that. You can go to any restaurant in town today and find multiple people groups represented, all peoples. Listen, friends, you can go to Walmart and you will see all people groups there today, right? You'll see all kinds of people. You can go anywhere and see those things. So it's all around us, multiple peoples that all need to hear Jesus. It says, go, as you go, make disciples. Listen, missions is wonderful to be a part of going around the world, but there are thousands, listen to me, thousands of people entrusted to our personal mission field right here in our county. Amen? Do you believe that? There are thousands of people in our county who need Jesus, who don't know him. Amen. But listen, here, know this. Oh my, Matthew 28:19 cannot be watered down to this. Build a building, unlock the doors, and hold the worship service. Churches all around have been doing that for years. That is not what the Great Commission is about. As we go to those in our neighborhoods, to those in our community, to those around us, make disciples. E.V. Hill was a well-known pastor, African-American pastor, who pastored in the Watts community of Los Angeles. An extremely rough place to serve as a pastor. And as he pastored there, he spent a series talking about panta ta ethne and all peoples and how their calling was to reach all the peoples in the Watts community and surrounding area of Los Angeles. And so he decided, and he talks about it in one of his messages. I love to listen to his stuff online. You can find a lot of that cataloged in the library. He said, we're going to form some committees to reach all the peoples of Watts. They formed a prostitute committee. They formed a pimp committee. They formed a drug addicts committee. They formed an alcoholics committee. I'm not kidding. They decided they were going to form groups that would know how to go and to help make a difference in the lives of people in their community who needed Jesus. They wanted to reach people in their community, and they realized they were responsible to be the light in a dark place in their community. So my question to you is this: how do we here at Albertville First Baptist Church, we won't worry about the other 250 churches in our county, let's just worry about ours for a moment. How do we bridge the gap with those inside our walls who know Jesus and those outside our walls who do not? Well, it's quite simple. It's really a simple answer. We have to get the message to them. That seems oversimplified, but it's true. We have to get the message of the gospel to them. Now, in week one of this series, back at the 1st of January, I said this phrase: we do not have a message problem, we have a message delivery problem. Anybody remember that? Listen, we have the same message that this church has had for 140 years. We have the same message that the scripture has given us for 2,000 years. We have the message of hope, the message of the gospel. We don't have a message problem. We've got a message delivery problem in our community. Now, we've tried our best to deliver the message in certain ways. We do some things that will make a real difference. We have an hour broadcast on WQSB. It's the largest reaching radio station in North Alabama. Has incredible high wattage. It goes all over the place. People hear it from parts of Huntsville all the way to the other side of Gadsden, south, north, in all directions. We hear from people who listen to that. But that is not going to be the answer for reaching our community for Christ. We have live stream on the internet. Right now, people are looking at us. And if you're watching for the first time online, I know I don't look like I sound. I'm sorry. I apologize. But I've joked with you guys before. I wish I had that deep voice like Adrian Rogers. I can't even do it. I would try to do it, but I can't get my voice low enough to do it. I wish I had that voice that was so distinct and known to him. But the truth is, I know it. I sound a lot more like Joyce Myers than I do Adrian Rogers. I mean, I know it. Now, in my defense, I went about 2 years thinking she was a man before I knew that she was a woman. That's a nerve voice. I don't mean that to be offensive. I'm being honest about how perceptive I am on the radio. So my voice is not the best. But, you know, so if you're watching online, this is the real me. Sorry. But the camera adds 50 pounds. Remember that. So it's that's what I heard. Okay. So, but it's not just that we're going to share a gospel post on social media, though that will make a huge impact. We will continue to do all those things, and we will continue to do our best to leverage all of those wonderful resources in the days ahead more and more for the gospel. But by far, please don't miss this, the best message delivery system that First Baptist Church of Albertville has is for you and for me to take off our Sunday shoes and put on our walking shoes and go to the people around us. It's the truth. It's the best message delivery system we have. It's not y'all come, and we hope you'll be here, but it's hold on. Help is on the way. It's the idea that says we are coming to you. So we already have a number of ministries that we're a part of that in my eye fit the idea of Ponte Ta Ethne, of us reaching the peoples around us. That's why we support regularly the Real Life Pregnancy Centers, and there's an entire group of people that we're able to minister to, and you get to be a part of that, that makes a difference for them, that they're not going to walk in the doors of this place maybe, but we're able to minister to them in a very strategic way. Then there's our facility across town, the Cahill facility, that we have given well over half of this building we own to the Second Chance Food Pantry to use, and they minister to over 700 families a month who come through there to know that Jesus loves them and to receive some food and some help. Christian Women's Job Corps in the back part of that, where women are discipled, and we get to be a part of that and what takes place. Then there's the Great Physician Clinic. Listen, this past Friday, it's different dentists have different rates and speed of being able to pull teeth, and you need to understand that the greatest thing we do for the community on Fridays is pull teeth. I know that sounds strange, but people come in pain, they come desperate and needing that to be the case, so there's not a lot of other dental work that happens. But on Friday, they probably pulled well over 50 teeth on Friday. Just last Friday alone, and then to be able to say, God loves you, let me pray for you, and here's Jesus. So it matters. It makes a difference. Now listen, it's hard for me to believe that we're using dentists to share the gospel. I hate the dentist. Some of you will remember, I've been around long enough, you've heard the story. I have a horrible story about the dentist. I'll just share it real quick. It'll make you feel better. So if you don't have good stories, I had to have a root canal when I was a teenager. And so I went in, and back then, this will show my age, they didn't have a little TV screen you could watch TV. They had a little Walkman. They had a little cassette tape player beside you, and you could put a cassette tape in and put headphones in, and somehow listening to music was going to drown out the pain of the drill. I don't get it, but that's what they were going to do. So I had the headphone, and the choices I had, I remember it like it was yesterday. There was no CDs back then. Two cassette tapes. It was AC/DC, and if you don't know who they are, we won't go there right now, but it was them. And then there was Barry Manilow. And so I decided, since they were going to be working on me, I could really, back in that day, I could have gone either way. I like both. But, you know, so, but I decided I was going to listen to Barry Manilow, something a little more soothing while they were doing this. So I put Barry Manilow in, and he's singing away to me. And I've got my headphones on, and they put the little mask on with the gas, and they forget me and leave the room. And they had it up a little too high, and I can remember this like it was yesterday, and this was like 35 years ago. But I can remember when I looked up into the corner of the room, the wall started doing like this. And I said, hey, I think I'm going to be sick. And nobody was there to hear me, and so it kept happening. And Barry Manilow was playing, and about this time, the dental assistant came into the room, and the dentist, and they said, "We're about to give you the Novocaine we're about to give you the shot to help you out here to get going at the very beginning." And I was so drugged out at that point, from just the happy gas. I promise you're gonna think I'm lying to you people, but this is the truth. So the cassette tape stops, and this little voice speaks to me and said, "Chris, you want to make a record? We'll make a record together." And I proceeded to throw up all over that lady. It was horrible. So I've never liked the dentist. And I'm so thankful that someday in heaven there will be no dentists. Offices. There will be some dentists. Not many, but there'll be a few of them. But dentist offices in heaven. So, but in the back part of our building, listen, there are people who line up to get what I dreaded and did not want. People who will line up to get help because they need it. And it's all done in the name of Jesus. We don't have a little tape for them to listen to or anything like that. But someone's going to pray for them. Someone's going to share the gospel. And they're going to have an opportunity to see the kindness of the Lord. So friends, I tell you all of that to say this. We are corporately making steps for our community. But there's more that we can do. And we're about to, you say, when are we going to get to Psalm 78? We're just about to. Last week, we unveiled a brand new ministry. I'm wearing a shirt that says right here, C-O-W, boy, cowboy, right there on the shirt. C-O-W stands for Church on Wheels. You've seen the bus parked outside the building on the railroad track side of the venue. If you haven't, we invite you when we're done today to go out there and hop on board. It's empty on the inside, but the outside's finished, but you can get a feel for what's going to happen. This is not a gimmick to get attention in our community. This is a resource for making disciples, one person at a time, one neighborhood at a time. We will take the Church on Wheels, this mobile classroom, and we will go into apartment complexes, into mobile home communities. We will go into neighborhoods in different places. We will set up shop, and we will be able for an hour at a time to make a difference in people's lives. We will literally go to them instead of just saying, "Y'all come to us," because that does not work for most people. Now, this will be a blessing to all ages, but we're really going to focus on children and younger generations. Why? In Psalm 78, right where you are, hopefully in your Bible, Asaph writes this beautiful psalm. It's a long psalm. It's not a short psalm. And this psalm is a history lesson. If you read it from beginning to end this afternoon, you will find it will give you the history of Israel from the Exodus all the way up to where David's line will be assigned to have the Messiah come from his line. You get this beautiful passage that tells the story of Israel. But the first 8 verses of this passage really are the introduction. And I love what verses 5-7 say about the Israelite children and about the hope of God. And I believe we can apply this to our lives and our community as well. So let's read it. Psalm 78, beginning in verse 5. Look with me. It says this: "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell it to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Listen, if there was ever a verse that I think could be the theme verse of our Church on Wheels, it would be verse 7. "So that they would set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." That we might be able to help children and families set their hope in God, to hear the gospel proclaimed to them in their neighborhood, not just in a big building that can be scary to them, but right there in their community, in their neighborhood, with someone that has sat with them for an hour at a time, week after week, to set their hope in God. to know who he is, to learn to keep his commandments, starting with the commandment for faith in Christ for salvation. I love this passage. Disciple the children that the next generation might know God and set their hope in him. So we will go. Many of you signed up saying, I want in. I want to be a part of this. Whether it's for 1 hour, one time, or it's 1 hour a week for 4 weeks, or whether it's something different, whatever the case may be. Some of the options for that, if you weren't here for that Friday night banquet, let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to offer in certain communities for 3 to 4 weeks at a time, 1 hour a week after school, some tutoring. It will be light on the tutoring part, more on reading buddies, teaching people how to read or just having someone to read with them. There are many people in the schools that tell us that's one of the most important things we could do is to have an adult sit and read with the child and help them or read to them, let them read to them. But we will be doing some tutoring as well under certain subjects and what we'll do. So maybe for you, that's something you can do. You say, Chris, I'm not a teacher or a retired teacher, so I really couldn't tutor. Listen, if you can read, you can be a reading buddy and encourage you to do that. Then there'll be kids clubs like we do right now at Cahill. This is what started it all, so that we can go to a community like we do on Cahill on Thursdays and bring a small number of kids together. And they'll sing. They will enjoy. They'll have a craft or some type of activity. They will hear a story from God's word, and the gospel will be shared. Relationships will be built. One of our strongest ministries in our faith family is what happens every Thursday at Cahill. Well, now it's going to be on wheels, and we're going to be able to take that multiple places. And we have people of all ages who volunteer there on Thursdays. So maybe that's you. You say, I could do that for a Thursday for a month at a time, maybe, or a Tuesday or a Monday. We're going to offer some life skills classes. We've had some ladies who have said, I want to help teach children how to sew, something they can learn how to do. Someone that says, we want to teach people how to cook a meal. A lot of children who end up, after they get dropped off the bus in the afternoon, they're home to take care of themselves. And so a lot of unhealthy choices are made about dinner meals and things like that. So we've got someone that's going to help teach a little of that. Maybe you say you could do that. There's some that are going to help some of our folks learn how to read a tape measure. People going into the workforce that don't know how to do that. Don't know how to do the different small, simple things. So some of you men in this room say, well, I could do that. That's you being a mentor. And we're going to do all this and share the gospel and share the name of Jesus. Listen, we've even got a Lego club that's going to happen. Go, listen, it's a bricklayers club. You can, if you like Legos, I like Legos. You're going to build a Lego project with a group of students for 1 hour. And then at the end, we'll have a little Bible study about the book of Nehemiah. It's all about Legos if you haven't read it. Not really, but it's got the bricklaying in there. So it's there. We'll do that. We're going to give away ice cream. Say, what does that matter? Listen. Don't you like ice cream? It's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. It's a great way to get to know people. A mobile library. Great grocery giveaway. It's going to happen March the 15th. Many of you will go help us give those groceries away in an apartment complex, but we're going to load them all up in that bus so people can get used to seeing it before we go back to be able to do other ministry. Not the people, the groceries on the bus. Now, the idea will be that no child walks through that bus on it or off of it, without knowing that Jesus loves them and there's hope for them. And part of that hope will be delivered through our faith family. But can I tell you, you don't personally need to get on a bus to be able to do what Psalm 78 says, to help people set their hope in God. It doesn't take a bus to bridge a gap. Listen, it just takes you. Your planned act or your random act of kindness to someone with the gospel message, it will matter. Your relationship with your neighbors, it will matter. Your picture of Jesus as you're involved in the community, the different community activities that we have in our city, it will matter. You going, me going, this is what Jesus had in mind for us. It's you and I shining his light in our own little world around us. Now, most of you know that I have a heart for missions, and I believe it is the calling of the church that many churches have missed, because God is all about drawing men and women to himself. And so as much as we will be about missions all around the world, one of my favorite quotes, because I'm often accused of wanting to be all about other places but not about here, but let me just say this. C.T. Studd, a very well-known missionary, said it best, so I'm just going to quote him. He said this, "The light that shines the farthest shines the brightest nearest home." The light that shines the farthest shines the brightest near his home. So as we are making a far-reaching impact to the world, that light will shine brightest right here in our own community. I want to take just a second to read something to you. It's an excerpt from a book by J.D. Greer. J.D. Greer is the current president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And he wrote a book called Above All. But just listen to this short little excerpt from this book and how it will apply to your life and mine. He says this: I heard a story years ago about an earthquake that happened in California. A man was being interviewed who had been driving late one night around 3 a.m. when the earthquake hit. He pulled over, he said, waiting for the earthquake to stop, and then he slowly pulled back on the road. Despite the sudden surprise of the event, he seemed no worse for the wear, until he noticed the taillights of the car in front of him suddenly disappear. He slowed down, and as he approached the spot where the lights had disappeared, he slammed on his brakes. The taillights had disappeared because the car had plunged over the edge of a cliff. The earthquake, it seemed, had completely taken out this small highway bridge. Peering over the edge of the cliff, he saw the car demolished in the ravine below. But as he considered what he might do to help, he turned around to see another car headed toward him. He waved his hands and screamed for the first car to stop, and the driver ignored him. After all, would you stop at 3 a.m. if a stranger on the side of the road was screaming at you? The man watched in horror as the car disappeared over the edge of the cliff. He had no more luck with the second car, which ignored him and plunged into the ravine. And that's when he saw a small bus coming around the corner. At that moment, he said, I resolved that the only way this bus was going over the cliff was if it was going to take me with it. So he moved out into the middle of the road, and waving his shirt and screaming like a madman, he yelled, stop, stop, stop. Fortunately, the bus stopped. And while the bus driver jumped out of the bus, initially furious at the man, when he saw what had happened, he realized how many lives this man had just saved, and he was immensely grateful. J.D. says, when I hear this story, I thought, what would I have done if I were there? I hope I would have done the same thing that the man did, acting like I was out of my mind for the sake of saving other lives. Would I have cared if the people driving by thought I was acting like a lunatic? Of course not, because I had seen something they had not. How much more then, when it comes to the gospel, should we be, in the words of the Apostle Paul, a madman for the sake of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:13. Should we not be willing to say, I've seen something you haven't seen, and I'm pleading with you to listen? Sharing the gospel is an urgent rescue mission, more urgent than if we'd seen a bus full of people hurling towards a cliff. It's time we stop playing church and start realizing what's at stake. Every day, thousands of people hurtle into eternity without God. It's a fate astronomically worse than crashing into a ravine. That fact requires an urgency among those of us who believe. It requires an urgency that others might consider over the top. It requires an urgency that makes us willing to lay aside our preferences, even our cultures, to lay them aside like a jacket on a hot day. Could it be that the reason people don't believe in the urgency of the gospel is because we don't show that urgency in the way we share it? Shouldn't we again become those people who stand in the middle of the road, waving our shirts, calling people to flee to Christ for salvation? That's powerful words. They spoke to me when I read them. Because when I think about me sharing the gospel here locally, in our community, in our neighborhoods, if I'm confessing to you, I've shared the gospel with plenty of people in the past few months right here. From the pulpit a lot, but I'm not talking about that. That doesn't count. That's like cheating. You don't get to do that. So here's the deal. When I stop and I think about the people I've shared the gospel with verbally myself, sat face to face with them and told them about Jesus, there are a number. A number of folks who have come to the office to speak with me about that. Or people that I've met here or at certain events throughout my time in the last few months. So it happens, without a doubt. But if you were to ask me, Pastor Chris, if you're our leader, when's the last time you were in one of these neighborhoods sharing the gospel? I don't know. When's the last time you were the one who sat for an hour with someone in the community just to have an opportunity to build a relationship to share the gospel with them? It's been a while. See, that was part of what we had to do a lot when we lived in Maine, in a place where it was so unchurched and de-churched, and you weren't around a lot of believers. And listen, everybody needed to know who Jesus was. But I'll be honest with you, I can get real busy as the pastor here at First Baptist Church. I can get real busy doing things for the Lord, and I miss my opportunity to live out Matthew 28. Not anymore. See, the greatest thing this church needs is not a pastor who can sit in his office and prepare fine speaking words and eloquent speech. The greatest thing that this church needs is the pastor who will lead the way in seeing the poorest neighborhood in our community come to Christ. To see people in certain areas of our community come to know who he is. Why? Because they're not coming in the doors of this church. If we say, y'all come, you're welcome here, we've got nice temperature, padded seats, that's great, but they're not coming. If we are going to truly make disciples, I will need others to join me in saying that we will go to them in our community. I think there is nothing worse than someone living within eyeshot, for sure, or earshot of those chimes we have up in our steeple. Listen, when we crank those things up nice and loud and we have things playing through that, you can hear that for a couple of miles away in different directions. How sad would it be for someone to be within earshot of our steeple but have never heard the gospel from somebody inside our building? So I'm confessing to you that my commitment is to be less of what I have been and more of what I should have been. And that is to be the one who leads the way in that. And I wonder, though, would you join me? You may say, Chris, my calling is not to share the gospel. I beg to differ. Read your Bible. You say, but Chris, I'm not eloquent with speech. I don't know how to say things. Listen, read the Bible. You ever heard of Moses? I could go on and on. I could give you all kinds of examples of people. The truth is that doesn't hold water. You say, Pastor Chris, I'm afraid. Okay, that's legitimate. I understand. You don't want to get it wrong. You don't want to mess it up. Can I assure you, though, that messed up people have been sharing the message of Jesus for 2,000 years and we haven't ruined it yet? You're not going to ruin it. Share what Jesus has done for you. Share it in the neighborhood. Share it in the community. Share it in your school. Share it among your friends. We have an opportunity. So my prayer is that this new Church on Wheels ministry, this new bus that looks like a cow, this new bus would not be some fun activity and fun thing to see, but that it can be a catalyst, really a catalyst, to encourage us to step outside of our comfort zones and to go be light right here in our community, because the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest nearest home. So would you commit to do that? Listen, you don't have to know every scripture backwards and forwards. It's great to memorize some, and we'll have some training and planning. But if you can put your arm around a child and love on them, if you can talk to an adult and help them maybe with their English, there's all kinds of things we can do. There's all kinds of ways you can be involved. But it's not just about that. Let's don't wait for that. It's going to take us a month or so to get the inside of that bus ready. Let's start right now with what we're going to do personally in our neighborhood, in our community, with those around us. You and I together for the gospel. Would you bow with me? With your head bowed and eyes closed, we're about to sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And so my question to you is not, have you decided to get saved? Most of you have already done that. My question is, have you decided to follow Jesus? He's the one that gave us the Great Commission. Go, therefore, to all peoples. Have you decided to follow him to your workplace and share the gospel? Have you decided to follow him to the school and share the gospel? Have you decided to follow him to your neighborhood and share the gospel? To the ball field and share the gospel? To the chamber of commerce and share the gospel? To a restaurant and share the gospel? Have you decided to follow him to an apartment complex and share the gospel? Listen, the opportunities are endless. My prayer is that some of you would join me in the altar today, not for show, but because I know I want to get on my knees and say, God, I have decided that I want to make it count for what counts. That I want to make eternity the priority. And I want to lead by example. Would you join me? Father God, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that today's scripture passage from Psalm 78, Matthew 28, would not just have challenged me, but more people in this room. Lord, I love this faith family. I've never seen one quite like it. They love you. They want to give and make a difference and pray for others. Oh, Father, may that boil over into our going in our community. May we have the intestinal fortitude, the guts to do that, to share that message of hope and justice, truth, love. That it will no longer be, y'all come because we got a seat for you, but it will be, hold on, help is on the way. Father God, speak to our hearts now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, and as we sing, you respond.